One thing the Arab Spring countries will all say they have in common, solidarity with Palestinians. Our next story is about a Palestinian man killed recently in East Jerusalem. He was a community activist who was not involved in politics. He just wanted to live in a place where the roads were paved and firefighters came when a fire broke out. His name was Baha Nababte. And a few years back, Daniela Cheslow went to meet him.
I went to visit Baha Nababte 2 years ago because I was curious about life in the only Palestinian refugee camp in Israel, Shuafat, in East Jerusalem. About 70,000 people live in and around the camp. Baha had a complaint that I thought was surprising for a Palestinian.
Why in this area no have police? It's Jerusalem.
He wanted Israeli police in his community. We walked by tall concrete apartment blocks along impossibly narrow roads. No one enforces planning laws here. We passed piles of trash that people burned because trash collection is haphazard. A young man drilled into the asphalt in front of his house to carve a private parking spot out of a public road.
Because we have police here, everybody built in the street, you know?
Okay, hang on here. I don't like to interrupt Daniela, but before you go any further, clarify. This is a refugee camp in Jerusalem?
Yeah, the camp was built by Jordan in the 1960s to house Palestinians who fled their homes in the 1948 war. And it gradually expanded. So today it's part of East Jerusalem, and the residents there pay taxes to the Israeli-run Jerusalem City Hall.
And one more quick question. What then is the difference between the status of, say, a Palestinian living in the West Bank and a Palestinian living in this refugee camp?
Well, around half the people living in and around Shuafat refugee camp hold Jerusalem residency cards. And unlike West Bank residents, these Palestinians with Jerusalem IDs can enter Israel, they can hold Israeli jobs, they can use Israeli healthcare services, and they can collect Israeli pensions. But they have to pass through a military checkpoint to get into Jerusalem because of a concrete barrier that Israel built around the neighborhood to stop a wave of attacks in the early 2000s. And inside that neighborhood, Palestinian police aren't allowed to serve, and Israeli authorities say it can be dangerous to work there. So they've withdrawn services like ambulances and firefighters, and it leaves it as kind of an in-between area.
All right, gotcha. Sorry for butting in, Danielle. Let's get back to Baha's story now.
Okay, Marco. So in the absence of official services, Baha decided to provide them. He started by creating a team of volunteer paramedics to respond to medical emergencies. He also helped residents pool their money to pave the streets in front of their homes. Then, on the night of May 2nd, Baha was directing traffic as a road team repaved the rutted main avenue of the camp. Jerusalem authorities had finally come up with funding for the repairs. Ahad Otman was nearby at his gas station, and he told me what happened.
The three first shots were, they were so quickly, like this, tick, tick, tick. And number four and number five was like this, tick, tick. I asked, what is going on? What is happening? And they said Baha was shot by someone who was on a motorcycle.
Baha was rushed through the checkpoint to a hospital in Jerusalem where he died from his wounds. Israeli police say they're investigating Baha's murder, but there's no word yet on a suspect. Recently, I went back to Shuafat to talk to Baha's family. On the main road, men sold nectarines just steps from huge piles of burning garbage. Little had changed in 2 years. I also spoke with Sheikh Abdullah Al-Kam. He serves as an unofficial sheriff here. He told me everyone thinks Baha was murdered by another Palestinian. He had two theories. One was personal, that someone in the camp was jealous of Baha's success. The other was political. He says Baha believed in getting help from community centers, which are run by Israeli authorities. People didn't like that cooperation. That's something Ronit Stella thinks about often. She's an Israeli civil rights activist who worked with Baha and his projects. She remembers something he'd tell her when she'd crossed the wall to visit him in the camp.
He said, I see this concrete wall every single day. And I would want it to be teared down. And that's something I can't control. But I do want to make sure that in my heart I don't have walls.
Baha's brother and others in Shuafat say they'll continue his work. Jerusalem authorities say they'd like to complete the road that Baha started paving the day he was killed. At the moment, it's unfinished. For The World, Daniela Cheslow, Jerusalem.